Good morning, brethren. Nice to see all of you here on our last day of convention. Let's open our Bethel devotional comments with hymn number 108, hymn number 108. And then Brother Sean Humphreys from Phoenix will ask the Lord's blessing upon the comments to follow and also Brother George's discourse.
Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, truly the one who is good, we come to Thee this brand new morning that Thou hast allotted, provided for each one of us. We're thankful for it, thankful for the night of rest that we all shared to rejuvenate us for this last day of the convention that we've been so privileged to each be a part of. We're so thankful that Thou art truly a loving, almighty God of wisdom, justice, power, backed by love. We ask for Thy blessing upon this Bethel service and also upon our dear brother George and his service to follow the Bethel service. And we do ask that Thou would please help each and every one who has asked either in their hearts or vocally for Thy assistance in their walk in this narrow way to be found faithful unto the end. And may we ask for forgiveness for all those shortcomings that we see and don't see in ourselves. We pray for Thy kingdom, and we realize and are thankful that it's going to be a grand success. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And now we'll have the manna for November 25th read by Brother Norm Zendler from Detroit.
Good morning. November 25th. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot tempt with anyone with evil, neither tempteth he any man. James 1 verse 13. There is a difference between temptations which the Father considers proper and the temptations which comes from the adversary. The former are tests of loyalty to God and to the principles of righteousness, and are intended to be a blessing and a help to all those who are which can withstand them, and thus demonstrate their loyalty to righteousness. The temptations of Satan, on the contrary, are in the nature of pitfalls and snares in evil and wrongdoing, temptations to make right appear wrong and wrong appear to be right, putting light for darkness and darkness for light. In this sense of misrepresentations and ensnarements in evil, God tempts no man.
Thank you, Brother Norm. The scripture that was read for the manna today, of course, was James 1:13. And obviously the scripture that comes before that is James 1:12, and as we'd assume. And it's a wonderful verse, and it sort of sets the stage for verse 13. And I thought that that verse and just a quick look at it might be a nice way to start our day together. It reads, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." And it's a wonderful verse because it's in a way kind of an overview of the entire narrow way process. It tells us several things without going into too much detail for time. It tells us that we are tried under the direction of divine providence, that to be tried is to be blessed. We are required to persevere in those difficulties and trials. And if by the Lord's grace we are overcomers, we are rewarded with a crown of life that has been promised to us in advance. So it's something to look forward to. The word proved in that verse in the Greek literally means stood the test, tested to be trustworthy, of sterling worth, like metal which is cleansed of all alloy. The word crown is translated from a word that means to encircle. It describes the victor's crown, the symbol of triumph. And in early times, it was a token of honor, public honor, for usually some kind of distinguished service. In James, the apostle is saying that the person who overcomes trials becomes someone of sterling worth and emerges strong and pure spiritually. In the book of Revelation, each of the letters to the seven churches, as I'm sure we all know, contains a phrase, "to him that overcomes." And later in a summary statement near the end of the book, Jesus says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." It is clearly obvious to us, brethren, that overcoming is a prime activity in the Christian's life. The Apostle Paul says that we're in a warfare against spiritual wickedness. He also writes that the carnal mind is enmity against God, and that those who are in the flesh cannot please God, who live after the flesh. The Apostle John says that those who overcome the wicked one are strong, and that he also says that we, of course, are not to love the world. And we all recognize that we have three great adversaries to overcome: the adversary himself, the world, and the flesh. Three great enemies to overcome. One of the many values of a convention is to recharge our spiritual batteries. We often don't have particularly trying experiences at a convention, but we do learn lessons from the platform that will better equip us for our Christian walk. I've heard brethren sometimes say that I learned a lot of lessons at a particular convention, and perhaps what they mean to say is that they didn't learn the lessons, they just heard about them. And they now have the information, and information brings responsibility. So we get information from the platform, from the ministries of the brethren that serve us, and then we're responsible for that knowledge. Also, we fellowship, of course, with fellow believers who share their own experiences and their difficulties and triumphs and trials and blessings and so forth. And that process of sharing can better equip us also for when we leave the convention site. So it's all about creating a forum for learning so that we can get scriptural advice, admonitions, and then apply them once we leave. Of course, it's good to apply them while we're here as well. And we hope that you've been thus strengthened here at this convention here in San Diego, and the services, of which we have two, will add to that blessing. And the final services today, as we know from our programs, will be discourses by brothers Tabak and Montague. And we will first be served by Brother George Tabak in just a moment. So let's close our opening service with the singing of hymn number 165, and then we'll go to Brother George's selection for an opening hymn. Hymn number 165.
Before thee.